Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Over Sharon Show, the best darn show on the internet, as we like to say. And we have a guest again today, which I'm very excited about. But before we get into that, I'm going to read today's quote, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be familiar with this quote. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will remain nothing. Only I will remain. And that is from the Dune series of books or movies, or however you want to look at it.
Was that about the Gum Jabbar?
The Gum Jabbar. There's going to be a lot of Dune stuff coming for me, just like there was like Lord of the Rings stuff previously. Yeah, I've done another deep dive.
We pulled the Three of Cups kind of. We pulled this pretty recently. I think we pulled it with
Austin.
Awesome Austin, yeah, because then yeah. You pulled the Four of Cups, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great card. Oh, I like that representation of it too. It's more of the like the Rider Waite with the three women dancing around holding the cups. What's in the sky there? Oh, I should probably highlight you so you're big on the screen. What is that, like confetti?
Let me see. Little leaves, different colored leaves, orange, green, yellow. So like the fall.
Oh, and
they're falling.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Kind of reminds me of like a celebration, a fall celebration, or the harvest. Uh-huh. Nice.
And it's like family, tribe, soul family, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, totally.
Because we have Copper Bear on, and we met her through the Bertaria Times community, and wanted to have her on to just share her journey, her path, how she found the community, what her spiritual path has been, what her spiritual growth has been, where she's at now. We like to talk about these things with people, like talk about their cosmology, and because we all, you know, we may say things differently, and we may say, you know, some of us may be more like toward Christianity, some of us may be more towards something else, but we kind of all see things very similarly in the grand scheme of things. So I think it's important to talk about those things. So here we have Copper Bear. Welcome.
It's my pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Awesome. Well, before we were recording, we were talking a little bit about your past, and you were talking a little bit about your political associations from the past. And it's funny because I hear your story. I mean, a lot of people who come to Owen and this community come kind of from the right wing, but there's a good amount of people that come that used to be more into the left ideas, I guess we could say, like the Democratic stuff. And I think you're exactly right about what you're saying before, which is Bill Clinton just engrossed so many people. He was like the popular president. You know, he had Reagan and George H.W. Bush. And I think people were just sick of it. And they saw this guy playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall, you know, and you're like, wow, this guy gets it. Let's vote him in. And, I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years out of the 90s. And I just remember it being a time of, it seemed like there was a really good time. Like it seemed like the economy was doing really well and people were just crushing. So I was really on board with that. And it's funny because you said you had voted for Obama. Well, I voted for Al Gore. So I know exactly how you feel about that. And it was, for me, it was really because of the wars and all the stuff I saw going on. And then it just got worse. I mean, after Bush, then George W. Bush, then we had 9/11 and we had Afghanistan and Iraq. And I think Iraq is about the time when I woke up, because I had been in the Marine Corps and I knew that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with Afghanistan. You know, I was into that stuff pretty well. So I was really, really, just lost when that happened. I was like, what is going on? This is not, you know, I remember they announced it. It was like March 17th, I think, of 2003 when we invaded, or when the United States government invaded Iraq. And I just felt something. And you know how something happens and you can't quite understand till later what it is, but it was just like a change that I had in me. And I remember before we were recording, you said around 2011, you had that similar kind of thing happen to you. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, you just said March 17, and the first thing I think of is March 17, 2020, when the lockdown started happening, like on a big grand scale. And it went from, you know, 9/11 was this wartime where you're saying like March 17, 2003 is when you're just like, there's something that changed, like the tenor of the culture in America changed. And we could equally say that for COVID. COVID definitely changed everything that happened. But yeah, like, you know, what you're saying, it was 2011. I was a pretty big year for me. There was a lot of things that were going on during that year. And I've shared it on my podcast. I started a podcast this last month. And it's really
congratulations.
Kind of I do a lot. Let's see where it goes. But yeah, it's very much, you know, at least getting into to doing something. It's been something that's been on my heart to do. So, but it really is just like a bearing of my soul of what I see, what I observe, my experiences, and hoping that that helps people to see things from a different perspective, because that's how we all grow. And I think it's kind of meaningful that we have this Three of Cups, which I just looked it up, and it says groups coming together to focus on a common emotional goal. And, you know, that's a lot of what I talk about in my podcast is emotional stuff, linking, and how that links to spiritual connection. But anyways, yeah, in 2011, as Sharon was saying, we all come from different cosmologies. And a big part of mine, what my spiritual journey has been in the Bible, has been really into learning a lot of what the stories are saying, relating that to my personal experiences now. And of course, like, I'll look at other things because I'm really open-minded, just kind of being from that liberal mindset of just being open to everything and kind of taking it in, deciding like what to keep and what to let go of. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of us can relate to that. And it doesn't make anybody good or bad. It's just that's how we are ingesting the world. So in 2011, I was following this. I don't know if you guys remember, but May 21st, 2011 was supposed to be the day everyone was raptured.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I was actually a part of that ministry. I was like following that ministry. And I had so much internal turmoil during that period of time. I was like, I'm not getting raptured. Like, I'm definitely judgment on myself in that time.
Okay. I think are you still there?
Okay. You're breaking up.
Broke up for a second. You're good.
Yeah, so we didn't get to catch that.
Last thing we heard was internal turmoil.
Yeah, I had this internal turmoil of really harsh judgment on myself that I wasn't good enough for God. I wasn't good enough for to be saved. I was I was really lacking that confidence that what I was doing was on the right path. So when that happened, when that came and went, that kind of broke my foundation. And in breaking that foundation, I was laying on my bed just crying, because when you're desolate, when you're have nothing and you have nothing to hold on to, and you're really just drowning, that changes you on a big, like, psychological level, emotional level, spiritual level, like everything about your person is so shaken that you have to find a way to really mitigate that and start finding, where is my foundation? Who am I? What is going on in the world? How am I relating to it? And really just doing this big personal inventory of where you're at, where you're going, and making a change And I don't know if I'm the, like, this is how I operate or if everybody operates like this, but this has been my journey of, and I did it again in 2019, and we can kind of talk about that in a bit, but that 2011 was a pivotal moment in my truth journey, because that's when I started like really reviewing who I was and how.
Oh no, it broke up for like another second again, but I think we got most of what you were saying though. I just keep looking at that Pepe frog behind you. It's great.
It was like an important thing. I wanted to hear it.
I can probably get on my phone if this isn't working. Maybe that might be better. I don't know. You guys are already recording.
Oh, don't worry about it. We've had crazy things happen. We were recording this week and my cats were like getting into a fight in the middle of the recording. Because one sits up here, yeah, so don't worry. It's...
Yeah. Okay.
We love it here in the Elvis Sharon Show. Actually, though, what you're talking about is, I like how you said you're not sure if everybody goes through it or if it's something that, if it's just an individual thing. And I tend to think that, yes, it is individualistic for everybody. Everybody has their own path and journey. But there are a lot of similarities involved in what you're talking about with other people, what they have and what they experience and how they change and what they go through. And that's really what drew me into symbolism, and symbolism drew me into the tarot. You know, I don't really ascribe any power to the deck itself. I think it just works more like how synchronicity works. And the, what you're describing to me reminds me of like the death card, where your former self had this death and you were mourning it and you were crying and you know, you didn't know how to be in the world and stuff like that. So you had to kind of figure out a new truth. And I think these ideas, they're not really taught to us, but you can go out and learn them. And we always talk about this stuff, how we don't like to be victims and we don't like to say, oh, they're keeping it from us and they're trying to hide us. I just think that it's a function of the way the society works as a society of, you know, wage slaves that we are, that we just kind of perpetuate and keep going down these same roads that our parents and grandparents and stuff have gone down. And right now it's just a great time in the past, maybe even 20 years, people just starting to wake up to a lot of this stuff. And it's amazing when we share all our stories like that. And that's the reason that I asked, but I think you're doing fine now. And I don't think it broke out or you broke up.
Yeah. I kind of stopped. I didn't know if there was a sound thing, but yeah. After all that, I got into Alex Jones and I listened for hours and hours and hours of Alex Jones, because there really wasn't anything that was as edifying out there in the entertainment sphere that was meeting the needs of what I needed to hear. As far as people getting from, okay, here's the problem, here's the problem, here's the problem. But with Alex Jones, it was almost like, yeah, here's the problem, but there's no solution. And so when I discovered Owen, and at first it wasn't, it was like, oh yeah, he was kind of going along with the same narrative or the same like storyline of, oh yeah, it's the left. And then eventually he broke out of that. And once he broke out of that, and it really started with the fence building. And I don't know if you were around for that time, but that fence was probably one of the most interesting shifts that I watched in Owen. And I don't know if the audience is familiar, but, in 20.
You cut off again.
17.
Uh-oh, we might have lost her.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, she'll probably come back in with her phone. But what she was talking about, oh, there she is. You there? There you go. We can see you now.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah. You want me to go in with my phone so that we don't.
Yeah. Try to hop in. Yeah,
you could try it with your phone. I do kind of remember that thing with Owen. I was made familiar with Owen through Dave Smith, and that was probably like 2016, 2017. Somewhere in that area. So I remember when he got, basically kicked out and started his own thing on YouTube. And I would check in from time to time and watch him. And I do remember him talking about building that fence where you know, he's like, I couldn't even build a fence. Hang on, here we go. There we go. So it was really interesting to see his change because he actually had to use his hands, you know. There we go.
All right. I don't know how much better that's going to be, but maybe it won't cut out so much.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was given a little bit of the background with Owen in the in his fence and all that stuff.
You have to have Pepe in the background, though.
There you go. I like that. The ceiling fan above you too. It's great. It looks like
with that fence, it really was not him just saying this is the problem. It was him saying here's the problem, and then also here's the action that we need to take to get over that problem and face the next one. Because if you look at all of the commentators, it doesn't matter if they're left or right wing or if they think they're alternative or whatever. Is my sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It doesn't matter if they're left or right or, you know, alternative, like independent or whatever. If they don't give you an action of solution, then what are you doing? You're just kind of in this. And he did a really excellent stream one time on revolution versus revelation. A revolution is a circle, and a revelation is a truth to get out of that circle. And so anytime I hear anybody say, oh yeah, we're revolutionaries, I'm like, okay, you're just going to continue doing the same thing. You're not going to get anywhere. You don't have any solutions. And I'm a builder. I love doing things. And that's always been my MO, is to like go out and do things, even if it means something's going to fail. At least I took the risk to try it, you know? And I really admired Owen, not only in his defense of the weaker members of our society, like children and women and elderly, and just really upholding this, here's how you keep your community. It really demonstrated that, yes, there are masculine men out there that are going to protect you. And that's kind of really where I am. And I did this really great stream on protection yesterday, my podcast yesterday on protection and why it is so important and what ramifications there are if you're not protected. So for example, if you're if I'm shouting, I'm really sorry. I just was shouting at my computer.
No, but you're good.
If you're a parent, your job is to protect your child. And so there's two parents. And if one parent is abusing the child to a point of where it is deemed cruel, that child is going to grow up with what I like to call generational curse or generational sin from that parent. And it doesn't necessarily have to be from the father. It's not just sins of the father. This is also sins of the mother. But if the mother is not intervening and saying, you can't, that's too cruel, don't do that to that child, that child is going to grow up with not only resentment of their father, but resentment of their mother. And likewise, if the mother is overtly abusive or tyrannical, and then you have the father that's not intervening into don't do that to that child, there's going to be the same pattern. And it's not always true. This is not a legend. This is not like, oh, if this happens and this happens, that's not the case, because you have your own choices in whatever happens through that situation to either forgive that parent. Maybe the child has a lot of forgiveness in their heart for that parent and they're able to really work through those things, or they'll have a lot of resentment and they'll hold it, and that will hold them back from as they get older, having healthy relationships, having healthy behaviors towards themselves, having a healthy inward look at who they are and a confidence in who they are because of, you know, whatever that situation is. And so, you know, I really talked a lot. I like talking about a lot about these things, but honor your father and mother is a commandment for a reason. And it's to give you a long life. It comes with a promise of a long life, and that is well with you. And so if you are able to, as you know, as a young child or as an adult, to really go back and look at, okay, that child did get abused in that moment. And I've had to do this a lot, and I still have to do it a lot, because there's a lot of things that just didn't make the connection to where I am now. And so when you're an adult and you can look back and you can be like, okay, I'm now protecting you. You're my inner child. That child, when I was age 7 or age 14, whatever age it is, I'm looking back at that child and it's still me. I call it my soul tribe. Like every version of me is my soul tribe. I look back at that person and I'm like, you're okay. I'm protecting you, because time is not linear. We can go back into our past and really find these places and correct where the trauma or abuse that happened, or perceived trauma or abuse happened, and really mitigate on that level, and then be able to like go forward cleansed of that. And that's the cure for those generational sins, like, you know, asking God to come in and help me release these sins, help me release these generational curses, help me release these soul contracts that I have. Maybe you had an abusive ex and they're just not leaving you. Like, let me get rid of this. Like, let me let it go. So I always have a theme. 2023 was let it go. It was a purge year.
2023
has been, okay. I don't go like year to like fiscal year. I go from like when things happen. So it's been like a definite, not only a discernment, but there's a definite like purge, like get rid of the things that don't matter so that you can let new things in and grow.
That really resonates with me for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I've had those moments of like, let things go so that new things and good things can come in. And I had a Reiki session with our friend Michelle Albers, who we had on before. And a couple of days after the Reiki session, I saw a red-tailed hawk, which I had never seen before. And it flew toward me and then like got my attention and then flew into a tree, and it let me walk toward the tree and like capture it on my phone. And like, it just sat there and stood there. And I just thought, okay, then this bird came to me so that I could get this message, and it will leave when it knows that I've gotten the message. And then as soon as I thought that, it flew away. And I was like, that's crazy. So yeah, but I looked up the red-tailed hawk, and it meant to like release those things that no longer served you, that were getting in the way of your growth, of the things that you wanted to do and needed to do. So.
Yeah. And it's once you're like in tune and you're really listening to what your body is telling you, because I think a lot of us there's so much noise that goes on. If you're watching TV, there's a noise. If you're at work, there's a noise. If you're at home, like, you know, a lot of the times there's noise, especially if you have a big family and they're just running around everywhere and you don't have this time to have silence and really listen to like what's going on inside your body. And that is so important. Like, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is within. We are temples. This is super important. We are temples. And if it's very esoteric. It's hard to understand from a physical or temporal realm perspective. You have to look at it from this alternative perspective of you're building. It's not a Jerusalem that's here on earth. It's a Jerusalem that's in heaven. It's not the Zion here on earth, wherever that may be. It's the Zion in heaven. And that we are not only physical beings, but we're spiritual beings. And many of us will admit that, yeah, we are spiritual beings. Yeah, we do have souls. We do have something about us that sets us apart from every other part of creation that is within our physical realm that we can look at. And I firmly believe that we are now in a time where those things, the spirit and the physical, are going to be connected together. I think that the veils are lifting right now. I think that we're going to see incredible things. Like, we're like just getting into these incredible experiences that we're going to have, that the 2000 years of us saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Like, just think of that. Consider what that means. Because if you think about it, that means like whatever is done in heaven is being brought down to earth. And we're seeing it with technology and all that kind of stuff that's happening. Like, those things come from God. We're connecting on the synchronistic level to God. That technology is connecting from God. And we have this unique ability. I said it in a super chat. I said, angels don't have that. Principalities don't have that. The demonic doesn't have that. They don't have the ability to be in our physical body. We have these temples and they're flipping amazing. We don't even have, I can't even remember what percentage, it's not even 10% of our brain capacity of what we're, what these, this piece of technology is able to do. And so I think we're coming into a time that we're going to recognize that, yeah, there is, just like in our truth journey, like a lot of us were awakened in 2010 to 2012. A lot of people were getting all these nudges. And now you look back from then to now, because back then I was like, oh, the hospitals are going to shut down. You know, I'm sitting here pregnant and I'm putting together this like emergency birth kit because I'm like, oh, the hospitals aren't going to work. They're not going to let me in. They're not going to be functioning. And that was a premature vision that I had, but it was a vision nonetheless. But now here I am, like 12 years later, I have this new vision. The new vision is that we are going to be connected from our bodies here to our spiritual heaven up there. And that we're going to be able to go back and forth between that, that these bodies are amazing technology. And to get that technology, you have your low emotional vibration, which keeps you really heavy. But then you, if you've ever experienced joy or bliss, that's the heavenly experience. And that's what, you know, it says in the Bible, these are promises that you'll be able to experience. And whether we like it or not, these things are going to happen. Like, I think that we're in for the ride of our life. And maybe not necessarily in our generation, but in the following generations, it's going to start to come to fruition. That was heavy.
No, I love what you said. And something that you said really made me think about my own experience in between that time, like between 2012 to 2020. I think what happened was people like us, maybe we didn't realize it consciously, but we could see what was going around on around us and we could put all these pieces together and we saw where it led. So we were just automatically going like, oh, money's going to be worthless. You know, the hospitals are going to close, all this stuff's going to happen. And we're trying to express this to people around us who are more, they don't see the realm of cause and effect so much. They're more in the realm of of an effects of what's going on out here in the world. They don't really see the in-between and what's causing it. And as that started happening, people like us thought we were going crazy and other people might've thought that that were around us, but now we don't seem so ourselves. Crazy. Yeah. Or even ourselves. Yeah. Right. But now we don't seem so crazy, do we? It's like,
oh, absolutely not. Like the things that God has been, or, you know, the comforter or whatever you want to call it, like the messages that I've been getting, the visions that I've been getting are this. There's no doubt in my mind that these things are going to happen. And yeah, there's a little bit of work that I still have to do with myself. But beyond that, like the whole vision of what this future is going to look like, I don't have it all like pieced together, but just like this, I don't want to call it just a feeling, but it's just like this whole vision, not just feelings, but it's like our abilities, what we're capable of doing, how this technology is working. Cause I think joy is a technology, you know, that is a definite technology. If you've ever been in true joy, like, it is an experience. If you've ever been in bliss, it is an experience. And we can get little tastes of these, but to have that just be the vibration that you're in is quite another thing. And, you know, periodically I'll get taste of it. And in the Bible, it says that God is to be worshiped with fear and trembling. And I think we kind of look at that from an odd perspective of like, oh, we need to be like scared fear. Well, it is a little bit of a scared fear of like what's going to happen. But I think it's fear and trembling of like, oh my gosh, this experience is like just a portion or a drop of what God has to offer me. And just that drop or portion that he's given me that I'm taking in is so overwhelming that it does bring you into a feeling of fear. It does make you tremble because you're like, oh my gosh, like this is so wonderful and I can't explain it. And it's hard to put words to, but the experience
more like an anxious feeling,
not even anxious. It was, it's just like if you're in God's presence, it's almost like this awe or
overwhelming.
It's not fear as in like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. It's like almost like a fear and trembling in that you're going into this experience that's new. And until you're able to kind of take these little drops of it, until you're able to get, you know, think about Moses when he was at the burning bush, like immediately he's down on his hands and knees, his face is to the ground. That's what I'm talking about. You're in the presence of God and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. Like on our normal, what we experience level, this is even far more than bliss. It's far more than enlightenment. This is like the power of God is like right in front of you or within you, whatever that is. And so I think that those experiences are going to start happening a lot more. I think that we're going, like the things that people are really concerned about are, oh yeah, all the people that are like the trans kids, like there's a lot of this sickness going around where your gender isn't right or whatever the messages are. And now these kids are taking all these hormone blockers and these things. And I think like our technology, once we start getting those downloads, that we're going to be able to heal those kind of things. Like it's pretty intense. I'm pretty out there. But like that kind of stuff, just healing and being able to not only bilocate, but translocate, like go from one area to another. Like once we start getting into what God has in store for us, the technology that's available, and understanding that with faith and really like in his will, like once you get into that, like it's a promise. Like you're able to move mountains if you have the faith of a mustard seed. And I don't know if you guys have looked at mustard seeds lately, but they're tiny.
Yeah.
And they grow into these gigantic plants. Mm-hmm. Some of them in the Middle East, like they're huge trees where birds are like taking shelter in them. So we like when I say we have some amazing things in store for us, I am not saying that lightly. It is very heavy. It is hard to understand. And it's sometimes hard for me to even voice like some of the things that I've like been receiving, like the messages that I've been receiving.
Well, wow. It kind of reminds me of what you were saying in like 2011, when you were like, oh, the hospitals are going to shut down, like, because you're putting stuff together now that you quite don't understand, but you know where it's leading, you know, and I love that. And just so you know, we get really crazy here on the Oversharing Show, so you don't have to worry about any of these. Like, we talk about Realm Earth, and the main tenet, I believe, about Realm Earth is that everything else is materialism. Globe Earth, flat Earth, if you think it's like a flat physical surface, or even simulation theory that we're in a computer, it's all material. And what I say is, you know, we just can't explain it. We're this energy or spirit or however you want to call it. And that's another thing we always talk about. The words are so changeable and grabbled. And when I say a word, it puts a different picture in someone's mind than the picture that I have in my mind. So we're very conscious of that here too. But so what I say is basically we're just tricked into having this physical experience. We're just believing that we're having it, but we're actually a spirit or an energy or however you want to say it. But in this realm, we are able to exercise free will, like you were saying earlier, like the angels and the higher and the lower and all that stuff. They don't have free will, I believe, in the same way we do. And a lot of times when I boil that down, I'll say that free will at its essence, at its core, is really just the way that you deal with things internally. When something happens, like that's the biggest part of free will that no one really talks about, is that you have the choice to say, am I a victim? Or be grateful for whatever that happens to you, because it's part of this grand plan that we can't understand, you know? Yeah, so don't worry about the woo-woo stuff.
Even if it's unfavorable, like your situation is unfavorable, if you can find gratitude in that unfavorable position, you're light years ahead of many other people, because there's so many people right now that are stuck in this victim mentality. And I'm not saying that I never was, because I was.
Oh yeah.
And I am very conscious of that now. Yeah. Ever since 2020 was a huge spiritual growth year for me. And I think that, you know, I went on the Bear Trail. I was one of the first people to go on the Bear Trail and go visit other people during this time when everything was shut down, allegedly shut down, and you know, you're not allowed to go visit these other people, and if you do that, then this, and there's all these threats, and you know, getting fined $1,200 to go to your Thanksgiving if there's more than 10 people or something ridiculous. And you know, in the face of that, when everything was shut down, that was, I traveled more than I had in years. And it's kind of, I've always been like this, I don't want to say punk rock, because I think that that is even lower than where I'm at. I've always been this outsider, and really kind of drawn to the outside things, the things that are, that feel more new, that feel more like, but I don't want to say like I'm a hipster, but it's like you're almost above that, you know. You're like, okay, that's a trend now, everyone's on it, like I'm on to the next thing. And that's really what I appreciated about the Bears. Like, it just feels like it's a lot different than what the actual cultural norm is in our society, to have this like outsider group of get chickens. And that was like what, 4 years ago, and now look, everyone is like, oh, we didn't get chickens and now eggs are going up or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of that, my brother was here today and he was talking about getting chickens, and I was dying laughing. I'm like, I've been telling you to do that for years. Like, I'm like, let's do it, because he lives close to me now. So I think I'm going to go help him do that. I'm very excited about that. But yeah, 100%. It's like, you were like the original hipster, right? You were like when it was still cool to be a hipster before everybody started doing it. And that's something that I've realized also. And that's why I try not to, we use the term woke rape people, or like wake people up, as much, because I realize that a lot of these people, they might see it in a few years, you know.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to this stuff.
And I still feel like I'm still ahead of the curve, and it may not make sense to people right now, but it will eventually. And then, you know, when everyone starts catching on to, oh, this is happening, then I'll have something new. Like, God is using me as a vessel for something. And so that's why I kind of started my podcast. Like, my voice does need to get out there on a certain level. And despite whatever internal like fears that I have of like, okay, if I go out there, I'm a woman, one, so people are going to think that not only am I a woman, I'm a single woman, and they're going to think something about that. And so like these fears come in, and it's, or not fears, I should say, doubts come in of like, am I really, is this really what I'm meant for? Is this really my purpose? Am I really meant to be here in the forefront of people? And like, what examples can I kind of draw on that, yes, this is a good place for you, that yes, you are meant to be out here talking and sharing the things that you're seeing. Otherwise, if you don't, if I don't share the things that I'm seeing, am I disobeying God? You know, and so like, there's this, I still have inner turmoil. Don't think that I don't. I'm still growing. I still have things that I work on. And this is just happens to be one of my current things that I'm working on, like trying to be a little bit more, thinking I need to be a little bit more background, but maybe I'm just normally, I'm just meant to be a leader. I'm a person that loves talking, and sharing like really valuable, cool insights of what we would call gravy in the bear community, but just gravy that comes to me from God and is something that could be valuable and shared. Is it always right? No. Is it really interesting? Heck yeah, it is. And, you know, I've had really good relationships with people where they're just like, where does this come from? You know? And I'm like, it just comes to me. I don't know where it comes from. Like, it just comes from God. Like, these things are being shown to me on an interesting level.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll add, and I know I'm sure Sharon has a couple of questions I keep jumping in, but what I was going to say is also I found, because I've been podcasting since like 2013, and I, of course, I wasn't talking about the same things I'm talking about now, maybe a little bit, but what I found though about any kind of podcasting or writing, or even like I did comedy for about 7 years, any kind of performance where you're speaking to people, you're expressing your own truth that you have. And that's very healing, because I noticed, especially in 2020, I wasn't really podcasting as much and all that stuff happened. And I would just explode around other people that I knew with all this information. Like, haven't you heard of Carrie Mollison? You know, don't you know about PCR tests and all this stuff? And then once I started to record a podcast again, I realized that now I could just tell people, you know, if they ask me my opinion, I could talk a little bit, but I'm like, just go watch my show. Like, I don't even have to worry about this. I don't have to wake you up about anything. And it's so nice because, like you were saying before, I have all this information. Am I supposed to be sharing it? It's kind of like a guilt that you get, or there's this feeling that you get. And then once you start to share it, especially once you start to overshare it, am I right?
Yeah.
A lot of that is alleviated. And I feel like that goes along with the trivia method, because you have grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And the rhetoric portion is very important, because you have to express what you've learned. And then through that, other people can take it in, and they could take that in as grammar, as facts, and they can run it through their own logic, and they could, you know, see what they do from there. And I mean, even if you're not reaching a lot of people, it's still very healing. That's how I feel. What do you think, Sharon?
That's really good, because I was thinking similar thoughts. But yeah, when you said the trivium right now, it made me, I thought of that word when she was talking about how she takes different perspectives from different people and different, even different religions or different ways of life. You take those things and you process them and you make a discernment. And that's your inner, I don't know how to say it, but that's like the God in you. That's like the Holy Spirit in you telling you like what is right for you. And everybody's going to have a little bit different, you know, view and bent on things, but that doesn't make them wrong or evil or bad. It's just that we all have different experiences. We've all lived different lives over this lifetime, experienced a lot of different things that have brought us to where we are. So we're not going to always see the same thing that someone else sees. We're not always going to see it the same way that someone else sees. But that trivium, that made me think of that. And then what Brandon was saying about sharing your story, sharing your thoughts, sharing your, you know, what you feel that needs to be said, what you feel God is wanting you to speak out, is very, like, it's very healing. And I experienced that too through this show, because it literally was me and Brandon and maybe a handful of other people in a group chat. And we would sometimes have these types of discussions. And sometimes Brandon and I would be on the phone and we would have these like really philosophical discussions. And it was just like, why don't we just make, like Brandon was like, why don't we just make this into a show? Because we're talking about really deep things and maybe other people want to hear it too. Maybe they want to chime in, you know? So that became like, it's healing for me to talk about these things on a show. So I resonate with that too. So I think we're all on the same page.
Where could people find your podcast, really quickly in the beginning, you should say that.
Oh yeah. It's called Radical Souls Podcast on YouTube, and I can give you guys a link and you can share it in the description. And it's, you know, a little over an hour, sometimes an hour 30, just depends on the topic and kind of the insights for the week of, you know, what I'm experiencing, what word, like this word, the word this week was protection. The word the week before was scarcity. And just kind of looking at these, maybe looking at books, like I started with A Little Princess by Frances Hodgson Burnett. And I don't know if you've ever read that, Sharon, but it's a beautiful story about this girl. And I probably listen to it like 2 to 3 times a year just so that I can have a cry, because it's like this really fine heroine journey of this girl who is basically raised with all the riches. She has her dad, but her mother left her. And she was just this really stand up girl. And she ended up going from, she was born in India and she ended up going to London and being at this girls etiquette school. And while she was there for 4 years. After 4 years, her father died. And so it goes from her having everything to basically having nothing. And it's just a beautiful story. I always have to like listen to literature, listen to like certain shows so that I can actually have tears come out, because I have a hard time crying lately. So I have to watch these really moving experiences of others so that I can feel tears come out, because I just don't cry. Like I have so much compassion and understanding for people that like anytime anybody wrongs me, it's like, okay, that's where they're at. And I'm okay with that. Like I have so much compassion for that, that internally, sometimes it's difficult for me to move through my own feelings. And so I'm like, okay, I need to like get some of this out, because it's just stored up in me. And it makes me a little bit weird. And here's one of the things I found out this year. So this year I went to Hawaii and I had an intense experience. We can maybe talk about it. But afterwards, I found out about human design. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with human design.
Our friend Spoons did human design for us about a year ago when we did our retreat in Sedona. It's going to be a year on the 29th or something, like 20 something. Yeah.
Yeah. I found out I was a reflector, which is the rarest type. And I cried. cried for myself for once, twice. I was laying on my bed and I was just crying, because it was like, it was almost like a confirmation of, yeah, you are different. You aren't like everybody else. You're very different. Like, and it was really hard, because I've always just wanted to feel connected to people, and it makes me connected to everybody. I understand that, but there's just this part of me that's just like, can't I just be basic and have like one like path of things to do instead of all this stuff? It was almost like why me? And then, you know, over time I'm like, okay, it's just my gift that I have to give to everybody. And maybe that's part of how I'm like, when I went on the bear trail, just being able to experience different people gave me different insight of what was going on. It gave me more understanding of what was going on, and the observations and experiences that I had kind of made me go from being a little bit anxious to being comfortable with where we're going, even despite everything that seems to be going wrong. I'm like, no, it's hopeful. Like we have promise, like there is a great future ahead.
Wow. So Brandon, what are we not reflectors, right? Are we projectors?
I think that's what it was. Yeah. I want to see, somebody's talking about it again recently, and I want to go look up, because I remember Spoons, didn't she give us like printouts of everything though?
Yeah.
I know exactly where it is too. It's in this bag that I have that I had on that trip. So yeah, my brain is all over.
Chris Gardner brought it up on Owen's stream.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah, I heard that he did. Speaking of Topher, you said something about bilocation. Have you been listening to his podcast? Topher's? So Topher already has 4 episodes out. He restarted his podcast, I guess. I don't know. I didn't know he had 1 years prior, I'm guessing. But like it was December that he started. And I'm not even finished with episode 4, but I literally probably stopped right at the part where he talks about bilocation. And it's just crazy because I was like, I stopped it because I was like, because I had been talking, I think Cody and I had talked about it with each other. So I sent it to him. I was like, he's talking about bilocation. But yeah, it just like, it's so funny that it's synchronistic. It's coming up again. It's just crazy. This whole conversation has been very synchronistic, like everything down to like emotions. We got the cups, which are freaking emotions, like being overwhelmed with emotions, crying. Like I've been in this like mode of like crying for like a couple of days. It's
must just be nice.
Well, it doesn't like happen often. It's just, it's not like, it's rare for me to cry too, but I've just become overwhelmed with emotion on certain things that I'm going through. So it's just been, I've this whole conversation has been resonating with me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Every time I listen to Topher, like, I'm just like, I get what he's saying. Cause it's the same message that I'm getting.
It's insane.
And I don't even listen to his podcast. I have it on my radar to listen to it, but I haven't had time to it. I finally got Owen's stream back into my life.
I can't keep up with Owen. I just it's can't. Hard. So I just like, I'm kind of in the background. Like I'll just get bits and pieces and Brandon tells me stuff. Other people.
Yeah. We send her stuff. Yeah. He's been blowing my mind lately with some of the revelations he had. I mean, he had a whole podcast talking about, like sexual degeneracy and like how when men are having sex with women, how, if they're making it violent and all this stuff. And he talked about like pedophiles and how leads to pedophilia and he had all this hate. And then he read a letter from Woodshop Bear. Shout out to Woodshop Bear. He's been on the show. And Woodshop was talking about forgiveness and how it's so much better. And it just totally changed Owen's frame of mind. And he's like, wow. He's like, yeah, maybe I don't hate these pedophiles. He's like, don't get me wrong. He's like, I'll still blow their ashes into the ocean or whatever after we burn them or whatever. But he's like, I don't have to actively hate them and put it into my mind and let it consume me. Those are my words, of course, but he said something similar to that. And it was like, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And like something else that resonates with me with that whole discussion too. And some stuff you were saying too, Copper, is that this whole like compassion thing, because like you were saying, like some children will see their parents behave in a certain way. And maybe those children are gifted with more compassion. Like that's what my thoughts are. Like it, maybe they came into this realm to experience that compassion that they can give to their parents who are not treating them very well. And that's why they can get through it and get through it in a better way than people who lash out and, or people who maybe don't and hold it in, and maybe lash out later in life, you know. But yeah,
and I've read stories, I heard some intense stories. I have a hard time reading nowadays, but I heard an intense story of it was somebody talking about they had a death experience or something like that, and they came back to life, but they were a child and their father was just overtly abusive, and he did something. The dad came in and beat him until he actually died. Like he was dead. And so he's like outside of that in heaven, kind of looking down at the situation of he's looking down at the situation and he's like, he's looking at his dad, and his dad's just holding his physical body and crying, and basically like whatever he was meeting with was like, do you want to go back? If you go back, then this, or if you don't come back, then you're going to have a different life. You're going to have a different scroll, basically. I don't know what to say, but so he's sitting down there and he's like, okay, I'll go back. And so he came back to life and his dad was forever changed. So yes, there are experiences where those things do happen. And like this world is intense and storytelling is so important. because it's our testimonies that help us to grow and help us to kind of get outside of ourselves and see something from a different perspective. Like, it really is this adventure of the mind that can be really healing for you. I don't know where we were at, but
oh, yeah,
I'll go off.
No, that was beautiful. Yeah.
I love your necklace, by the way. So I just wanted to get that in for you.
Turquoise?
Is it turquoise? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's
turquoise.
Great.
I got it on the Bear Trail when I went to Pennsylvania in 2021.
Oh, awesome.
So tell us about, tell us about that excursion. Tell us about some of the places you went and maybe some people you met and some of the experiences you had.
Yeah. Okay. So I've probably been to over probably near 100 bear meetups.
Ooh,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I've gone to a lot of regular ones. There's some in my area that I've gone to. And then just, you know, going across the country over the last couple of years, like it's up there. It's like, you know, in the 70s to hundreds. I have no idea. I lost count. I've met hundreds of people, and it's so interesting because when we were getting together, there's this vibrational hum of when the people get together, and it's beautiful. It's almost just moves you so much to see like all these people come together. And so I've gone probably over 50,000 miles. I actually should say, yes, I have, in the last 2 years, just visiting alone, just on the road, visiting people. And, you know, some of the people, they kind of fell out of Beartaria. Some of the people, they're still a big part of it. And I've kind of taken a little bit of a step back because I just need to, as just my energy, I can't go all the time. I just don't have that energy capacity to continue doing that. So sometimes I have to take a step back. So I do that. What are some really good experiences? I kind of share a lot about that, but one of the ones that comes to mind is the Midwest Bear Fest. And we had this first festival, Beartaria Festival, and it was in Michigan. And I get there and it's just dumping down rain. Like, everything is getting flooded out because it's all on this farm. And so we're really having to work together to get people, like, so that they can get their vehicles out, and just really having a moment to enjoy each other's company. And it's just a wonderful experience to have like-minded people, to feel not alone, and to have this opportunity to make memories. And so I've met quite a bit of people. I've been to a number of states. I think it's 22 altogether in the past couple of years that I've traveled to or through. And I think the most interesting one that I can just recount is when I went to Hawaii this year. I was supposed to meet up with Pat Life. I think you guys have had him on the podcast, maybe.
Yep.
But I was supposed to meet up with him, and we ended up not being able to meet. It was very minimal time because he lives on Oahu and I was on the Big Island. Mm. But so as soon as I got on the plane and I got to the islands, there was a shift in my energy. And I had spent the whole summer at a bear farm. I lived on a bear farm in my RV. And I went to Hawaii, and it was almost like I felt like I wasn't even me anymore. I was removed from myself. And then it was, I don't know if it was the energy of the island or what, just this carefreeness, but that's where a lot of my visions came from. So the energy of the islands really shifted something mentally in me. And I have a hard time saying it, but as I was there for 9 days, I didn't even think that I would be able to return to normal society. It was that so far gone. It was such I was maybe having some drinks on the beach, but I wasn't doing anything else. So this is all just like a spirit provoked situation. And I've had like little tastes of that, but I'm just saying, like, when I was saying before, like, it's going to get more and more intense. Like, it's getting more and more intense for me. I'm just having more and more intense experiences where these things are just coming to me. And it's like, sometimes it's almost overwhelming. And sometimes it's like, I can handle that little portion that you're giving me, God. Sometimes it's just like blasts me. And the Hawaii thing was a blasting of the spiritual connection. And then thereafter, I was having these like other experiences. So one of the crazy things, and maybe it's not so crazy to you guys, is I came back and I'm in Oregon, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the beach. I'd go to the beach and I do these purging things. I was like writing things that I wanted to let go of so that the waves would come and wash those things away. And so I was doing this. I was having this, I don't even know if you want to call it a ritual. It was just like, okay, I'm acknowledging these things and I want them to go, like, help me to wash this out. So I get home and I go to sleep, and it's been happening more, but this is one of the most prevalent ones. I woke up. It was probably like 3 or 4 in the morning. I just wake up. My eyes just pop open. I'm wide awake. And my, it's going to be hard for me to describe, but it's like my field of energy was like pushed out beyond the end of where, whatever, like, I want to say universe, but wherever the edges are. And all I could hear was this, like, just really a lot of chattering, a lot of noise. And it was like a lot of confusion. It was just like everyone was chattering. And I was like, I wasn't included in that. It was just like, I could hear like the whole collective of people just chattering and almost in this anxiety or anxiousness, but I'm like super far away from it. My energy field is like so far out. I'm expanded beyond belief. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do they know I'm here? Like, I'm wide awake just having this vision. Like, do they know I'm here? Like, cause I'm just like kind of froze, like, who, what is going on? Cause this has not happened to me before. And I was like, they don't know I'm here right now. And I was like, well, what do I do? What do I do? And I was like, okay, the only thing I can think to do is just like shower them in love. So I like imagine love just beaming out of me onto the people that they're having like all this chatter and everything like that. And then I return to myself and I go right back to sleep. It's just like, oh, no big deal. Like, this is normal. And I've had those feelings where I can feel like my energy kind of like vibrating. I don't, cause it's not like an actual physical thing. It's just like, I can feel the energy vibrating around me. And I am so new when it comes to anybody explaining these things to me. It's just, I have these experiences, and that's part of why I was like, maybe I should just start this podcast. And I was kind of back and forth with it because I want to be able to have a place where people can hear about these experiences. And maybe if somebody else isn't their cup of tea, maybe what I'm saying is their cup of tea and they can resonate with that, relate to it, and then have answers, or at least have somebody that's, you're not going through this alone. There's other people that are experiencing this. And because I'm so vocal about it, maybe it will help them to connect with me so that they're coming from a feeling of, okay, this is not outside of the norm. This is what's happening to people. And I also want to hear if it's happening to others, what their experiences are.
That's amazing. That's crazy. And what a synchronistic thing that we reached out to you when you're starting this podcast. I didn't know you started a podcast, and here you are to tell people and our audience who may be also having experiences like this and may be able to resonate with your work.
Yeah, I've heard of similar experiences. We had our friend Joe on, and he talked about an experience that he had when he was riding his bicycle, and then he kind of felt the son come through, and then he just had this vision that he was everything and everything was him. And it was just, you know, he just had to like lay down and sit there, and and he hasn't really been the same since. So we totally get, we totally comprehend those kind of experiences. I mean, maybe not fully, but we're on board with definitely listening and sharing.
What's kind of funny, and not on the topic of necessarily what you said, but you said you were on the Big Island. And I went to the Big Island with my late husband. This was when we had first gotten together. We went to the Big Island as well, and we were there for 10 days. So I can resonate with you being on that. Like, I can just, I guess not resonate, but like I was there too.
Remember.
Yeah.
Relate.
And, but the funny part about that, which is kind of off topic, but the funny part about that was we were there for, already about a week. I think we had like 3 days left, and then it was unseasonably hot, and we were like swelled. Like, it was the car that we had borrowed from a friend was like, had no AC. So we were like, oh my God, it's so hot, you know? And so we would like the last 3 days we spent at like a Barnes and Noble, and we were both like, what is it when you get like the fever to go back to the mainland?
Like homesick.
We were homesick. Island fever. Sure. Island fever, I think is what it's called. Maybe. Right. Yeah. We got that at like day seven. We're like, can we just go home now?
Yeah. I've been to the Big Island several times, but I've never had that experience that I had. And I guess when I was pregnant with my son in that 2011 time, I did go there. So maybe that was like part of the catalyst. I didn't understand anything about energy very much. I didn't understand anything about, you know, what I was experiencing. I just knew that there's these things that were happening, these visions that I was happening of, this is what's going to happen in the future. Or so I thought right now. And so, sorry, people are trying to call me. But they're like, I'm having all these experiences, like not only then, but now, like that kind of like pushed forward all these other visions. It's almost like being a seer or something like that. I don't even know if that's the proper term for it, but to have
the word like that came to me when you were talking was oracle.
Yeah. Oracle. Yeah. And I'm like, who am I that God's giving me this information? And I think that's part of it, is like, who am I? It's like, you know, here I was, a girl that was like, probably still feel like a scared little girl, but getting all this information, it's like, where do I share it? And how do I go through this? How do I even make sense of it? And, you know, I've studied the Bible since I was age 17. I've been in the Bible. And I've struggled with drug dependency, alcohol dependency, being in bad relationships with people. And even worse is the relationship with myself, where I'm unable to connect. I have a hard time connecting with people. I can connect with a whole bunch of people, but when it's like a one-on-one relationship, it's really difficult for me to like be there. It's almost, you get into this people pleaser situation, which is a part of that scarcity that I was talking about, that I did a podcast on. But it's like, I just didn't feel like I was enough. And like, even with this, I'm like, who am I that God is giving me these revelations and this vision? And like, who am I? And what the heck is going on? You know, just, you don't always have all the answers, but just go with what is at hand. Like, everything that you need, you have. And you'll know when you need to do something. So it's all about taking that action and not being afraid and going for it. So I've always done that with, I mean, I don't want to say I've always done that, but I try to make that a point to do.
Yeah. Off topic a little bit, I remember that you were doing like this seeds thing where you were collecting seeds and like distributing them to anybody who wanted free seeds. Do you still do that or?
Yeah, I've been kind of transitioning. I've moved so many times in the last couple years that it's hard for me to like kind of settle in. But I do. I still have seeds that are coming in from people. And we collected a bunch of seeds from the bear farm that I worked on last year. We were like, okay, we're going to, you know, plant all these things and we'll keep the things that we like. So we're still packaging those. But that is Beartaria Seed Savers on IG. And so that is, I'll give you guys all that information so that when this goes out, people can find that. But that's going to be coming up here soon. I have to go up to Washington and grab those, and then I'll get started on getting those, the spreadsheet sent out and packaged up, because it's going to be tomato starting season time. It's going to be pepper starting time here soon for us in the Pacific Northwest, at least, and maybe another location. So
it sounds like you have help. You have people who help you package them and ship them out and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't in the past. It's always been just me, a one woman show. And as you can tell, I will talk forever. I have a lot of hobbies. And so sometimes I'm just like the first time I did 70, but I wasn't working at the time either. So I had all this time I could dedicate to it. So I had like 70 packages that went out. And last year it was a little bit less at 50. And now I don't think it's going to be as much since everything's kind of returned to normal, whatever that means, where people can actually purchase these things. But I'm still continuing it in looking in the future, because right now it's eggs. That's the shortage. And you never know when seeds are going to be the shortage. And so big part of why I did it was, one, I had this excess of seeds to give away. And it started out with having this, all these carrot seeds. And I wrote an article for the Beartaria Times website. So if you want to find that, it's on Beartaria Times, but that's kind of what started it. And so I'm still looking at getting it back up, but I've just been moving and settling in. Like, I just moved into here at the end of November, and it's just been taking a long time to get settled in. But yeah, I do that. And now I have some people to help with the packaging and everything like that. Oh, so good. That's very big, because I can't do everything, even though I want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I did wonder how you were. I was like, how is this girl doing all this? Because I saw you, like, you had all these cute, like, pictures of, you know, like, you have an image for it. And you're like, it's like a thing. I was like, girl, wow, this is awesome.
I had a lot of creativity at that time. My energy goes up and down. And sometimes I surprise myself.
So you were saying that sometimes you have to, like, and I get that too, that you have to, like, come back and just do your own thing to, like, take some energy in and, like, calm down. And were you referring to, like, not going to a lot of bear fest activities, like, around the country, or even, like, locally too as well?
I took last summer, I primarily stayed in Washington, which I live in Oregon. So I would go to Washington, to the Washington Bear Meets, and I still attend those, just not as much. I like to hibernate in the winter because I am a bear. So I do like to hibernate. And so a lot of the times I'll kind of just take some time back for myself so that I can kind of regroup and let go of some of the stuff that's going on. And I think that we all need that, but especially me, I need a lot of quietness. I need a lot of time to myself to just kind of let go of all this energy. Cause, you know, from what I understand of being a reflector, like, you're basically mirroring everybody, but you're also, like, taking in their energy and feeling where they're at. So it, like, gives me a lot of compassion for people. And I'm like, okay, does everybody have this? Does everybody have this ability? Like, I don't know. But anyways, like, I have to clear my energy out very often because of just being around different people and, like, feeling different things. And it gives you this hypersensitivity to the people that are around you. Like if you're ever in danger, you'll know it, like, cause you're so tuned into other people. So anyways, I do like to kind of go, my bedroom is called my cave. So I have my cave that I go to, and it's just like, that is where I kind of recenter, meditate. And I try to take every Sunday and really set aside time to like do spiritual practices of like reading the Bible, listening to the sermons that are set out for that day, and really kind of reflect back on, okay, what happened this week? What's happening in everybody's lives, and how am I going to present myself this coming week of being of use to other people? Because it's very much, I'm very much a service-based person, as you can see, as you probably tell.
Yes, absolutely. You are. That's awesome. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us that you haven't yet mentioned?
Yeah. So one of the other things, I didn't just visit people in person. I'm also one of the hosts on Hanging with Bears. So I did start that podcast a couple years ago. That's on IG. And it's just interviewing people that are in the bear community, kind of giving them a platform, giving other people who can't maybe go out and visit a whole bunch of other people a chance to have this one-on-one experience of what's been going on in their life, how things are going on in their life, what are their victories, what are some of the things that, and it's just a way of sharing testimony, of really connecting with people, because that's really the big message right now is connection. Quarantine really was trying to separate us from each other. And this is just my natural thing. If they're telling me to do one thing, like I'm going to do the opposite. It's just that punk rock feeling.
Yeah, I told people at the beginning of 2020, I'm like, when they told us to start washing our hands more, that's like the first thing they did. I was like, I stopped washing my hands. I'm like, I just was like, nope. All right, fine. Like, you just know, like when they tell you to do something, it's wrong. I don't know why. I don't need evidence. I just know.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, exactly. I did want to give a shout out to one of our mutual friends, the Ukrainian Bear.
Yes.
Because I've met him, hung out with him several times. And I remember when you had him one time on Hanging with Bears, I was in there and I was giving him a hard time about his name because he was like, why does everybody say the Ukraine? It's just Ukraine. So we, yeah, he's a great guy. I love that guy.
Yeah. He's been like, I've had lots of friends come and go in the bear community. And I'll have like a handful of people that I talk to regularly. And we're just talking about whatever it is. Like you guys are talking about your philosophical conversations. You can imagine me right now. This is me all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. This is like where I go. I'm like, okay, we're going to get really deep into whatever it is. Like we're eating meat today. So Ukrainian is one of those people that we definitely have lots of conversations. And shout out to like everybody who does, you know, open their ear and be a friend to other people, because it's hard to find genuine people that will give you, you know, face truth, face value truth of what the situation is. And so obviously I'm going to tell people the truth and I want other people to convey the truth to me. And I know when people are lying to me, when they're lying to themselves. And a lot of the times I'm not going to say anything if they're so hard strung in wherever their position is. I'm going to say, oh, okay. You know, I've tried to say otherwise, but if you're really stuck in that, then, you know, good for you. I can honor where you're at, and I've been stuck before too, and it's fine. And, you know, another thing I want to talk about is like Owen's broadcasts. Like I've been watching him for so long and so many people will get hung up. You know, it was, I can't remember the first thing. It was probably the moon landing and then it's the Trinity and then it's, you know, Paul. And it's like, yeah, maybe I don't agree with all where he is at a certain period of time. I'm not going to agree with him on everything. But I have enough confidence that he is desiring to find the truth in whatever the situation is. And I'm like that as well. And may it be that I get the truth in the situations where I'm failing and other people are saying, oh, you're doing this. And maybe they're not mentioning it to me, but may it be that I find the truth in whatever that is and am able to get out of that. And I've always had this confidence that Owen is going to be able to find the truth in whatever it is. And yeah, it may take a lot longer for certain things because they are like so dug into whatever our society is saying. But because he has this desire to have that truth, I feel confident that God is going to reveal it to him at the time that he needs to. And maybe, may it be that it happens the same for me too. Like, I want that. And we were talking earlier, I just want to like say this, like forgiveness is also a technology. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness and compassion are both technologies that we have in our beings that we are able to do. Can a dog do that? Maybe it's always in compassion and forgiving, you know, but can other animals do that? Like, are they able to connect with their creator? Like, I don't think that they're doing it on the same level as us. So when I say like, we are different technology, like our ability, I don't want to put us in like, we're in the matrix. Cause we're not, I don't know. I think that kind of makes it seem set apart from what we really truly are experiencing.
It can be used as a metaphor sometimes, you know.
It's a good metaphor, but I don't know. I feel like there's kind of this dirtiness a little bit behind it now that almost negates like what we truly are, because we are technologies, but we're like free will technologies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can like, you know, take the path of truth and enlightenment and be connected to your creator. But understanding those technologies and watching it in real time, like Owen on that stream that you were talking about, Brandon, stream from, I think last, whatever it was, Wednesday or Monday or whatever. I don't know what day it is today, but him going through that.
Friday the 13th, girl.
Oh, yeah.
I should know.
You wanted it to be Friday the 13th.
I know, but it doesn't mean like I'm still dancing in linear time.
I'm the same way.
Don't feel bad. I forget about too. Everything. Yeah.
I only remember because it was Friday the 13th.
Yeah. I even mentioned something to somebody today. But you watched him go from this like low, almost angry vibration of energy, like it's, and then you watch that forgiveness technology enter him and shift him. And we all have this ability. Like it's going to be so incredible. Like our futures are so bright. And as long as we focus on those things that are of promise, like we're going to do amazing. I'm not worried about, you know, the cost of food. I'm not worried about all these things. I've done so much work. Girl. I've done so much work in learning how to can garden. And I've always desired to have like my own physical homestead. Well, I got all those things and it wasn't even fulfilling for me. And it was like, God was telling me, you have to destroy your empire. You have to destroy it and get rid of all the things that you thought were going to bring you comfort because you didn't trust in me that I was going to be your protector. I was going to be your safety net. Girl. You trusted in yourself. And now it's like unbearable for me. I had no energy to keep up with all of that stuff. And so now it's like, I had to let all that go. Not that I still don't care about that. Not that I still don't have those lessons or those experiences that, the training that I put myself through, but after going through all of that and then having to let the physical things go, and this has been a 3-year journey, having to let all those things go and realize that God has something else in store for me, that I'm going to be traveling. I'm not going to be in one place. I'm going to be going to different places to see things and experience things on a different level to be of service to him. And not necessarily have like a house that is my own, or, you know, have my own things. Like it really is going to be a terrible challenge, but I'm welcoming it. Like right now I'm just like, okay, I'm being prepared. I'm being readied for this. So,
yeah, I could tell you my own experience. I spent a month on the road last year. Right about this time last year, I left. I went to South Carolina to meet up with Adam Plasma Bear, and then he came with me. We went to Alabama to meet up with Spoons and our friend Philip. And then we all drove out to Colorado. We stayed with some people there. Then we met up with Sharon and our friend Michelle in Sedona. And then on the way back, I dropped everybody, you know, we kind of dropped people off, and then I was left by myself. So I went to Florida and I hung out with some friends that I knew from up here. They weren't bears, but it's funny because I hit them up while I was in South Carolina because I could have went home up to Connecticut, but I'm like, I don't want to go home yet. So they're like, yeah, come on down. Cause I've stayed with them before in like 2017 and they always have like an open door policy for me. And then they had this like awkward text about like the vaccine and how I felt about it. And I was like, no, dude, fuck it. And they're like, oh, great. We feel the same thing. They're like, it's a scam. I'm like, oh, thank God. So I got there and it was wonderful. But that whole being on the road thing, I feel like I'm kind of being called to that too, because it takes an entire village, right? If you think of Barataria. So there are people that feel fulfillment from doing certain things. So that's why I think you should follow your path. And, you know, like Owen says, anybody can have a garden, anyone can plant a tomato or have a chicken, which I totally agree with. But I feel like if you're not being called to do those things, and you know, because you did it yourself, right? You went through and you did it all yourself. And now you have that inner knowing, which I think is great. But you also have that experience so you can help people. You can go to somebody's farm and help them out with all that stuff, but it doesn't have to be your path exactly. There's other things, there's spiritual things that you can help people with. You know, for me, it's the show and then also comedy. You know, I have all these ideas where I'm like, why can't I just get like an RV or a big van or something and drive around to different places and just make my own tour, you know, just have a bear meetup and then have like a show after or something and do comedy, have other local people do it, get some other people or whatever it is, or music, whatever it is. And you could just kind of drive around and do that and stay with bears or stay with other people. And you could make a life out of that where you are really raising everybody else's consciousness. Really, you know, you're helping other people because of the stuff that you went through, because of the mistakes that you made. Everyone obviously doesn't have the same path, but you can help other people with their struggles or their, you know, whatever they have, obviously, if they're willing. But yeah, I really do see that in the future. And that's why I'm excited as well for this. You know, I try not to worry about it because for my situation, I moved back after being out about on my own for about 20 years. And I was in the Marine Corps too for 4 years. And then I was just living in Connecticut on my own. I moved back with my parents in late 2020. And now I've just been like saving money and working on all this different stuff. So a lot of times I do get very discouraged about it, but then I just remind myself that, you know, there are other ways, and that just because I can't be doing it right now, I'm still working toward it. Like everything I'm doing right now, I feel is like it's preparing me for the future, you know? And I think that it's good to remind people that, because a lot of people do get stuck when they see other people just crushing. You know, if you go on Barataria Times, you could get despair because you could be like, look at all these people. They're just doing all this stuff and I'm just sitting here, you know, like it could be overwhelming. And I know I've talked with this about Sharon before, where Sharon's like, I don't think I'm a farmer. Sharon's just like, she's like, I'm not a farmer. She's like, I do other stuff, you know, like, which is great. Cause I feel like people really have to find their own path, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying things and failing. I did a garden here in 2021 at my parents' house. And then at the end of 2021, my dad put up this portable garage for his new Mustang convertible, and it blocked my entire strip that I had. So I was just like, all right, I guess I'm not doing a garden next year. So this year I was going to do some herbs, but I ended up not doing anything. But I think next year I'm going to get into more herbs and stuff and smaller stuff. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like you were saying before with trusting God and trusting the plan. You know, when I went out there and I saw my dad building this thing with my brother that he didn't even tell me about. So funny. And I'm the only one who lives here. Like, you know, my other brothers are out. So my other brother's here helping him build it. And I kind of got upset and mad and I just let it go. But my first thought automatically could have just been gratitude. I could have just been, I'm grateful for this. This is going to propel me in a different direction. It's a total mystery, but let's dive into it. Right. So that's the kind of frame of mind that I'm trying to have now when things happen. And like you said, you're not perfect, right? We always fall, but I think that's what we're here for. We're here to fall countless times, dust ourselves off and keep going. And in that falling and getting up, I think at some point we realize that it's all perfect. It's all what was supposed to happen to get us here. And without that past, you know, we wouldn't have got here and have the perspective that we have to handle the things that are going to come in the future. And I feel like we're going to be helping a lot of people. You know, everyone's going to be helping each other, but you're going to be helping people maybe with like spirituality and all these other things, and then they're going to be feeding you. You know what I mean? It's going to be really amazing. I'm really excited for it. I'm actually getting chills just talking about it. So
yeah, what you just said made me think of like when you have gratitude in the midst of a situation that feels, you know, difficult, it actually brings growth rather than like getting desperately upset about something.
Yeah, because you're not a victim, right? That's the key. It's like, you're not a victim. And that's one thing I love about Owen. And I even have to credit James True a little here for this, because I used to watch him back when him and Owen would go back and forth a lot, or, you know, when they were friends, I guess, or when they were more friendly terms. And I learned a lot about victim narrative from that. And so that even actually changed my book, because I started writing a book in 2020 and then I put it down for a while. And then I completed it at the beginning of 2021. And I went through everything that I wrote and I removed all the victim stuff, because I was basically, my book is about, I call it shadow worked. And I talk a lot about my own transformation with my intimacy issues and all this stuff. And then I also talk about Marine Corps boot camp and the psychology and how they kind of train people. And I took a lot of it out. Like I even said about the Marine Corps, I'm like, you know, they didn't do this to me. I signed up for it, you know? And of course, if I sign up willingly and I want to go to war or battle or whatever, they have to train me to do the right job, or else they would be actually negligent if they didn't put me through this brainwashing, you know? So a lot of stuff like that. And as I started to not look at myself as a victim, I mean, the whole world opened up. It's really amazing.
Huge.
That's awesome. Yeah. Definitely getting out of that victim despair mentality will shift you. And if you find a way to use that gratitude technology, I mean, these are all technologies. All of our emotions are technologies. Like our brain is this computer that can process things. Our heart is a computer. Our stomach is a computer. Like we have this unique temple that is just ready to be turned on, ready to be lit up. And it really is like doing all that shadow work, like you said, is looking at, like, I had to look at the scarcity that was affecting all my intimate relationships. And I had my son's father, we were together for almost 10 years. And in 2019, I was like, this is done. Like, I have to end this. And it was a horrible situation to get out of. And I'm grateful to be out of it. But, you know, the first thing that you want to do is like, you get this rush of like feeling of going into another relationship, or like, oh my gosh, all these opportunities have opened up. And I really had to fight that to really stay single, to really work on some of the things that were challenging for me. And I really encourage people, like, if you're feeling like you're wanting to get out of a situation, if you're like a marriage or something like that, you know, Owen did this, he was talking to Dick Drawing Bear, and not to call him out, but, you know, he's like, my wife isn't like this. And I'm just like, that reminds me of Owen's, he went off later last year, but it was like, I like a woman who can, you know, be a man and and whatever. It's this whole skit that he does. I like a woman who's able to do that. And
I was just talking about that with somebody the other day. He's like, I like a woman who drives a Jeep and likes to drink beer and watch football and suck all these dicks. And he's like, you're like and is a man, because I'm describing a man. I want a man.
Yeah. And this will probably be a little bit more rabbit hole-ish, and I can go and overshare about this, but so a big part of my 2019 to now conversion, or like death card or whatever you want to call it, that transformation that I went through from being in a relationship to being single, I had to acknowledge that I was basically almost emotionally transgender, where I was, as a woman that is an anxious female or an alpha female or whatever it is, like I was the breadwinner, I was taking care of everything. I had to acknowledge that I was very masculine. And that was in turn just being like basically me being a man. And that is a form of, in my opinion, transgenderism. I was like, not only was like, because people will look at me and like, no, you're a woman. It's like, well, I'm not acting like one, like my actions are speaking otherwise. And so I pivoted from that time to like hardcore, whatever I could, just being as feminine as possible and really shutting that masculinity out. When in reality, when 2022 happened, my experience, I kind of finally realized, like I had somebody tell me like, okay, you have both of this analytical side of you and you have this emotional side of you.
Was it but really what you healing, need to do I gotta ask.
Is be balanced in the middle. What was that?
Was it Asha T healing? Asha, was it Asha who told you that? I feel like that was...
I took one of her courses and one of the people that did it, they did my birth chart mm-hmm. and the way that they worded it, because I'm I'm a Scorpio sun, Taurus rising, and a Gemini moon.
I'm a Gemini moon.
Well, the Taurus and the Scorpio are like, they're opposite of each other. So that's what makes me appear really grounded to people. So they'll meet me and they'll be like, oh, you're really soothing and calming and grounded. That's awesome. But the Gemini moon comes in and it's like, they're trying to work together. And then the emotions come in and they're like, yeah, fuck that. We're not going there. Like, we're ruining your party. And so it's a very interesting dynamic to have as far as like, and it's just a tool, right? But it's like, things that I'm, oh, okay, I'm experiencing this. I just feel so chaotic on the inside that sometimes it doesn't show on the outside, but on the inside, I'm like, and shit's going on. But once I was able to kind of find that balance between, and it's just the way that this report was worded, like, oh, once you're able to do that, then you're able to access this masculinity. You're able to access this femininity. And yeah, Asha's one of my, shout out to her. Like, she's done an incredible job of like helping people. And I've taken a couple of her courses. I took her Self-Worth Warriors course. And then I took one of her newer courses, The Mission. And both of these things, like, I don't spend as much money as I used to. I'm not leaking money everywhere now. And so I'm really impressed with just the shift. Obviously it's the work that I've done, but it's just how that when you have a leaky money situation, like you're just not able to save up or whatever, it is a form of scarcity. And so I've really had to look at scarcity or inadequacy, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like, internally and face those things. And that's the feelings of worthlessness. That's the question of who am I? Like, why are you choosing me? Like, I don't measure up. Like I think that I'm not enough. And it's like, nope, God is choosing you because you are enough. And the message that you have, because you are enough is going to resonate more with the people, because there's so many other people that have this feeling of worthlessness, that have these inadequacies, that are unable to connect with themselves. And you're just going to be one of those voices to help them realize that they're not alone and that they can get out of it as well.
Beautiful. We had Asha on several episodes ago. Yeah. We did a really nice, divine masculine feminine discussion, I think, with her.
Yeah, that important, that balance is super important, because I think the way that we're so much I want to say, so what you were saying with the worthlessness, right? I think that's the key. That's where it starts when we're young, the way we're raised and all these different things that happen to us. We're taught to get all our validation from exterior sources, so we for whatever reason, however it happens, we learn that our internal voice isn't to be trusted. You know, it's like, no, we got to trust outside. And when you can bring that balance in, I mean, yeah, it really is. It's amazing. It's all about balance.
Yeah. And that realizing that was so calming, because I can be really high energy periodically and just feel really crazy and chaotic. And it's all internal things that I'm dealing with. And it's almost like having to rewrite the stories or rewrite the situations that brought you to wherever that is. And really trusting that God is giving you enough that you're able to make it through whatever that situation is. And so, you know, one of the hardest things that I had to discover or just kind of be really honest about myself was I didn't trust God. And like, what? Who says that? You know, who says that out loud, especially somebody that, you know, maybe I have a lot of insight, maybe I have a lot of spiritual I've developed well spiritually, but to like come out the end of that and say, oh my gosh, I don't trust God because I have this lack of relationship with my father. And now I'm going to have to look at that and look at the relationship with my mother and really just kind of work through those things to give them, like, that's why I brought that up earlier, is just honoring your father and your mother, because they are in you. Like genetic, I'm a big fan of epigenetics. I learned about it in 2013 or 2012. And epigenetics is just that, I think that's where our generational curses and generational sins pass through, because we are genetically connected to our parents and our ancestors. I'm Native American. So all of this stuff is just like, you know, those are just terms that we have for ideas that the tribes were sharing in storytelling or however they were transmitting that information. Well, you know, even at a cellular level, like we have all this information that's inside of us that's connecting to us. And it's just a fascinating thing.
Yeah, 100%. Totally. Well, we're about at an hour and a half or so. So, or no, maybe a little more. Awesome.
Yeah, no, we're close to the 2 hour mark.
Oh, awesome. Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Because we'll probably wind it down.
Yeah, we can wind it down. I can go on forever. I'm a chatter.
Well, it started off a little bumpy, but see, we stuck it through. That's the important lesson that everyone should take away from this. If things go wrong, it's all right. You just you adapt and you overcome and you keep going. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And a lot of the stuff you said resonates with me. It's a lot of the stuff that I found out through my own journey and stuff. And I think it's great that we can share it for everybody to benefit from.
Yeah,
what do you think,
like
Sharon?
I said it resonated with the whole episode. Was like sink city for me.
Yeah. Why don't you tell them again about where they could find tell the people where they could find your podcast. Of course, we'll put a link in the description below, but just to get it out there into the universe again.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Radical Souls on YouTube. And I have 5 episodes up and maybe some shorts just in my car. Like I was driving and I had to stop and do like a little 5 or 10 minute session. So you can find those on there. The first one was about a book and just my reflections on that book. And the other ones are just kind of ideas that came up along. So yesterday's was protection. So you can find me there. And then I also interview people on Hanging with Bears, and I'll be starting that up here sometime in February, bringing people on to the Hanging with Bears IG. And so you can find me there as well. I run Beartaria Seed Savers, and that is also on IG. And you can follow me, Copper Barrett, on IG. And I feel like there's probably more stuff, but that's just what I can think of. And I'll give you guys that information so that you can find me on those outlets. And also in the Beartaria Times app as Copper Bear.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming on and sharing all that great stuff with us. And, you know, I was going to say before we go, we need to get Baron. We need to get Sharon on Hanging with Bears. I was going to say Hanging with Shares. yeah. So I actually did episode with Woodshop last year, I think it was, or the year before. I don't even know what year it is. So you don't know what day it is. I don't know what year it is. We're all just existing, right? It's all made up anyway. Yeah, I think she would love that. And oh yeah, shout out to our chat, by the way, because when we premiere these live every Thursday night, 8:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have a wonderful chat. Last week's chat was amazing. We had up to like 25 people in there, and they were all, it was all positive, no negative stuff. And we have like a no nonsense rule. We'll just kick people right out. Like Sharon is like texting me like, kick this guy out or whatever. It's great. She's the enforcer. Yeah, it's lovely though. So yeah, so thank you guys so much for supporting us. You can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. That's the website that I have that is now 10 years old. You can go back and check out my blog from even 10 years ago and the stuff I was talking about. And you can also find the oversharing tab, and you can get all your oversharing needs if you'd like to support us, donate. But the most important thing that we always ask is to just comment, come to our live chats, and just be a part of this community. And that's what we really appreciate. Awesome. All right, Sharon, what do we say to the good people?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally being a Karen.
I like that.
Yeah, it's our newer one we've been doing. So keep oversharing, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Sharon.
Bye. See you later.